and a federation of trade unions. So they think that we're part of the Soviet Union. I don't know how much rubles are worth these days and what can you actually get for that, but my feeling is very little. Some of the intelligence that they got for me, like they reference it here at the bottom. It says Mukukin has been identified as a key figure in PDAG. I think that's from the guy who is treelover at AOL.com. Feel free to send him a message if you want. it was... Just pick one. I think it was L-U-V-E-R at AOL.com, but it's probably not in use anymore. All right. Here's another example of a quote from... I don't know what meeting they were in that they got this, but at the bottom, right here, friend Kate Sorensen, who had $1 million bail, has made statements indicating that if ACT UP members, ACT UP is the AIDS Coalition to Unleash Power, were arrested, that they would not give their real names. Instead, they would use codes such as Mary Cheesecake. Now, what meeting this guy was in and why he picked this out, I have no idea, but I thought it was pretty hilarious that he used this. Can you... they used all this information to justify raiding a puppet warehouse in West Philadelphia. Later on in the warrant, they include saying there was, tubes of PVC pipe that were like 1 inch thick, and I don't think that you can actually use it as a lockbox. A lockbox is a device that protesters use to block streets in civil disobedience. Could you go ahead and play the tape? Hi, Zoe.
Everybody has a right to protest, but I don't know. I spoke to a couple delegates that came by, and they were pretty disappointed.
Now, just to give you an idea of how organized these protesters are, when we got on the scene, we were handed this news media checklist. It has a couple of questions. The first one saying, have you photographed the weirdest-looking protesters so that you can discredit the whole movement?
Well, this isn't the clip I was talking about, so
when we showed up,
you can just cut it off here, I guess.
The media to get the word out.
That was the wrong clip. Sorry about that. Some technical difficulties. They raided this warehouse. They arrested 70 protesters inside. They destroyed all our puppets, and it was very sad. But it was kind of like a tabloid press. They exactly. they made it. They said that they listed all these devices that were allegedly there. Originally, they said that they were looking for C4 explosives inside. All these things did not happen or weren't there, and everybody was exonerated who was arrested eventually. All right, this is an example of the police stopped a red bus that was carrying animals from a tip from the Secret Service. They said it was going to be a form of low-tech biological warfare, that people were going to release all these thousands of animals inside of delegate hotels. It turns out that these guys, surprise, were delivering these animals to different pet stores. So that's another strikeout for the Secret Service there. So I'm going to move into some of the police training manuals materials that I collected. The first one is protester tactics. Think some of them are true and some of them are pretty good ideas, I must say so myself, and some of them are untrue and pretty bad ideas. They're very well organized and coordinated. That's a good point. I'm glad they acknowledge it. This protester tactics at the top, it was the organized crime unit was the one who once in the Philadelphia police who were investigating us. Sadly, the top of that got cut off and had the phone number of it, but I'm sure... If you contact me later, I'll give you that phone number if you want to give them a call. All right. They say we vandalize businesses, vehicles, city property. Sometimes this happens. One of the guys who wrote the warrant, he was caught on videotape vandalizing a Philadelphia police cruiser. surround hotels when the RNC attendees are staying in order to intimidate them from attending the meetings. Well, we wanted to disrupt the RNC, and that's probably a good idea, so we kind of took them for their word at this. Too bad we didn't get this beforehand. I've never heard of the Seattle facial being used by anyone. I don't know anybody who's willing to piss into a glass in order to throw it at anybody. So the homemade pepper spray is in reference to actually it was cayenne pepper in a kitchen in D.C. at a D.C. protest that they were talking about there. You have a question? Yeah. Thank you. I knew it was in reference to something like that. Thanks for defining that. This is the kind of the media hype that surrounds these types of things, and it works into their intelligence. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of whisper down the lane. Protesters do. I don't know why, they put gas masks and Molotov cocktails in the same item. They seem like two separate things to me. I don't know how they go together. It is true that sometimes people do use Nextel telephones and two-way radios to communicate. And sometimes we do monitor the police communications, and I'll give more information on how to do that later. Let's see, crazy glowing lots at hotels. I'm sure you just don't get caught. A friend of mine did get caught, and it wasn't a pretty sight. Stopping traffic leading to Philadelphia. That's always a good idea. Volunteering for the RNC. More on that later. That's that's definitely a good idea. Sabotage police equipment. I don't know. I guess they're talking about slashing tires. That happened to some extent. And I think that some Pennsylvania state troopers contributed to that. Thwarting police communication capabilities. This was, I'm guessing that they took this from an email that some people were suggesting, a list I saw in my discovery from my trial, saying that people should jam police radio communications. This is a bad idea. You'll end up in jail for about 5 years from this. It is a felony, and besides, why would you want to jam them when you want to figure out what they're doing? These are devices used by protesters. I don't know how these constitute devices. They seem more like objects to me. Rocks, bottles, trash cans. High-tech equipment that these protesters are using here. Signs, banners, and T-shirts. All right. Clotheslines. Those anarchists, we can't have them being clean. That's not what that's referencing, but I thought it was funny. All right. They used John Doe and Jane Doe. Actually, in Philadelphia, we use Mary Cheesecake, to be exact. I don't know of any indications of people using different identification rather than their own. They usually just don't carry any at all. It is a good idea to have the legal council number. There's usually a legal working group in most of these demos. It is a good idea to have that number. And sometimes people write it on their arms and wrists. Personally, I would just memorize it. Anarchists. This is the last thing in protesters and tactics, and they say we're violent and evil. And that they're more of the troublemakers. Actually, a lot of the protesters are anarchists, and you don't have to be wearing a mask to be called one, or be one. All right. This is moving more into the police tactics. This is kind of an overview of what they do. The second half of it, they use plainclothes intelligence and arrest teams. They'll look for people committing, crimes, vandalism. They'll snag people out of crowds. They also will target leaders. They use mobile field forces of bikes in Philadelphia instead of having the Ninja Turtles and the riot squad. They had using bikes as riot shields instead. Also, a mobile field force. Basically, they want you know, want them to be mobile so they can move around to where the protesters are at and then arrest them. And at the bottom of the mission, they say that they want to ensure the rights of all citizens of Philadelphia, including law-abiding demonstrators. I don't think that happened very much, but there you go. All right.
All right.
Yes. that's my daughter Zoe down there. That's who we keep on waving to. She's adding her comments. She knows a lot about this stuff. All right. So this is how they deal with civil disobedience or, you know, a march, and they want to do a mass arrest. They clear off the area. They want to make sure they have enough people, officers, to arrest the amount of people they want to. Usually, sometimes it's around three times as many. And demonstration in D.C., you know, some people who are, they decided to use a barricade of a chicken wire fence. I don't know why they're using chicken wire. It didn't seem that sturdy, and they were going to march into this line of riot cops. And the riot cops were getting all ready to arrest them, and they didn't arrest them because we heard that this over the police scanner was because somebody locked the rest of the police riot equipment inside the van, and they couldn't find the guy with the keys. So, on that occasion, people didn't get arrested, and the police chief was there, and they were running around like crazy trying to figure out where the guy with the keys was. Evidently, he went to go find some extra batteries for his radio. So they didn't arrest people, and the commissioner came in and, you know, made this big song and dance, and he said, "All right, well, if you guys back up a little bit, we'll back up," and, you know, kind of took the credit for defusing the situation and all the cameras there, and he made himself look good. All right. Also, they want to have the transportation pretty close by. You can kind of tell when they're going to pen people in is they'll kind of have a staging area, you know, maybe a block over or so, and they'll have the barricades ready, and then they'll start moving people in. And they like to close people into these areas so they can, you know, especially more like peaceful protests, not necessarily civil disobedience, where they're just, you know, sitting in there. They pen people in for a while and make them sit there for, you know, an hour, 45 minutes, whatnot. And then they like to, you know, slowly let people go and then close them back in. So it kind of diffuses the situation as far as they're concerned, and people are less likely. They just want to get out of there at that point and, you know, don't want to continue the protest. So it's a good way for them to stop protests after they've already been happening. This is how they deal with riots. This is more of the Seattle model. And, you know, instead of arresting a lot of people, they just kind of shoot tear gas at them and march down the street and try to get them all the protesters to move away. It didn't really work that well in Seattle. I don't know personally, I wasn't there, but from what I heard that, you know, people didn't just go away. And when they do arrest people, usually they'll have officers behind them. Also in Philadelphia, they, what I noticed in past protests is that, you know, they'll have the line of riot cops like this. You know, they'll have the arrest type guys behind it. They'll open up, you know, the barricades, send a bunch of people in, arrest some people, and then close it back off. If I was at a demonstration, I would not want to get penned. And when I see these signs of, you know, them forming and massing up, I would like to get out of there. So carrying a police scanner is always good for that. How to disperse a mob. This is kind of self-evident. I'll just continue on. It's kind of self-evident, and you can read it yourself. Targeting leaders. I happen to be targeted by the Philadelphia Police. You saw me in the warrant. They mentioned setting us a key figure. They didn't elaborate that at all. And over here, you can see my boot. The best count I got is there's around eight police officers tackling me. The purpose of these snatch teams, as I like to call them, is that they target leaders specifically. Sometimes the undercover cops will pick out people in the crowd, people they identify on the spot as leaders. They also, on some occasions, they drive around in unmarked vans and all undercover agents. So an incident happened in the FTA protests in Quebec. Somebody was actually, you know, they ran out of this van, they grabbed this guy, Jaggy Singh, actually, and he was just using bullhorn. And he was with some people who were, you know, how dare they throw using a catapult to throw stuffed animals at the police. I think he was held without bail for a while for that one. So these arrest teams, they'll use analysis of the scanners. They'll track people down first, and then they'll move in. Here's some other views of this. There you see me shoved against a newspaper box. I like the free take one right underneath my head. this guy right here is the deputy police commissioner. Actually testified against him. There's a mask ordinance in Philadelphia, and he was, you know, right across the table from me, and he's justifying why they could arrest people for the mask ordinance, which they didn't charge a single person with. So usually laws like that, they usually use that as more of a press tool than actually use it. They like to, you know, charge people with conspiracy to obstruct justice or possession of instrument of crime, which was a cell phone in my case. Here they are carting me off. This guy right here has me in a chokehold and is telling me I'm scum. this guy, yeah, I don't know what he's doing. He's just kind of looking at me being like, what are you doing here? There's another picture where this guy is cutting a belt off of me, which was my, I volunteered for the RNC and got a nice little fanny pack, and he cut it off me. I was since been damaged, and I forgot to bring it here to show it off to everybody. This guy right here, who knows what he's thinking, but I don't know. It's a pretty funny face he's got on him. He's a lieutenant, by the way. You can tell by his white shirt. All right. The possession and instrument of crime I mentioned before, this is the inspiration for this 2600 cover of magazine. That was one of the cell phones I was arrested with. And no, I do not have Vote Nader tattooed on me. I did not know about that until afterwards. And since, you know, he lost, you know, and Gore lost too, maybe that's why I don't have it anymore. Maybe I got it removed. I was a little embarrassed. This is some experts from the RNC Command Post log. Four conventioners had their jackets and credentials stolen from Woody's Bar. I don't know who you know who Woody's is, but... And anybody who's ever been inside of Woody's, you would not leave your jacket lying around that place. And the Secret Service was notified, and maybe they thought there was some part of conspiracy, but I don't know. I always find it kind of ironic that there's gay Republicans in the world. The owner of Woody's is also a gay Republican. Log Cabin Republican, to be exact. The next one is a... example of racism in the federal government. Two black men in National Guard t-shirts are unloading structures at Broad and Spring Garden. They actually were National Guard people unloading structures at Broad and Spring Garden. this Broad and Spring Garden happens to be the state building, and in another document, the next one after this, it was listed as one of the sites where they had FEMA people at. And here's another fun tidbit. The FBI, this is from the FBI, the Speaker of the House's wife had her tires over the SUV slashed on Walnut Street. there was other things such as John Sellers, the person who was the head of the Ruckus Society. I am his sidekick, as quoted by Action News in Philadelphia. Seen by the FBI going into some sort of vehicle, and they notified the FCC. So also at the RNC, the FCC is around, tracking people and communications. It's also important to mention that the Secret Service is in charge of all security at the RNC. It's a special national security event, as well as the DNC, I believe. This is a FEMA document. I think there's an official use only warning at the bottom. I found this online. I saw a paper copy of once, but I couldn't find it in time for this. But if you Google FEMA and RNC, this is the third or fourth hit. So you can read the full document if you care to. It deals mostly with terrorism. But there is some interesting tidbits in here about protests. I don't know anybody who's familiar with Operation Garden Plot. Some conspiracy theorists might be more familiar with that. That was in Nixon's day. It was the FEMA's basic plan to deal with, you know, riots and protests. Yes, exactly. Thank you. So that was mentioned in here. They also, FEMA is, you know, using a local airbase down here in red to airlift supplies in case of a civil disturbance or a civil or a terrorist activity. This is undoubtedly similar situations are going to be planned for the next RNC in New York. Later on, I have the contact information for the Region 2, which is in New York, so you can give them a call if you want. The Multi-Agency Communication Center, this is manned by the Secret Service. There are about 34 different agencies working on the RNC security detail. It includes all the state police from all the states that have Republican governors, Secret Service, the ATF, you know, looking for the black men in National Guard t-shirts. Oh, when I read that, it blew my mind. It's just so blatantly racist. Here's some detail of the communications that they're going to have to set up. It seems a little redundant, but terminal access, controller access, control system. Say that three times fast. They also use secure voice communications over satellite or radio. And here's the FEMA contacts for Region 2. Federal Plaza, New York. There's the telephone number and the acting director as of 2000 and the operations director. Also included the civil authorities for the military and the Civil Air Patrol. This is all listed in this the FEMA document. All right. Now I'm going to move more into the protests, the actions and strategy of the RNC. In Philadelphia, we planned to block delegates near the hotels. We couldn't get close to the convention center because it was pretty isolated and removed from everything else in the city. And our general feeling was that if people went close to it, there would be no chance of actually affecting it. In New York, however, Madison Square Gardens across the street is in the center of the city. There's many different avenues to affect to prevent delegates from getting to their hotels. This is some brief overview of the security plans. There's going to be security perimeters set up around Madison Square Garden. They'll allow some pedestrians, some vehicles, and New York also has 40,000 police officers, 10,000 of which will be on the detail. Elm Patrol. I heard somewhere that New York has the sixth largest standing army in the world. So in Philadelphia, I believe in Boston, they're having to recruit from other police agencies, but the NYPD with their standing army has already got that covered. Penn Station, from what I've read so far, it is going to be open, but I've heard a bunch of exits are going to be closed. So this is also has the potential to add some other opportunities to get inside. And as I mentioned earlier, the Secret Service is in charge of all the agencies. I've even heard that some of the state police who are protecting their governors won't be even allowed to have weapons inside. The Secret Service is definitely running the show for this. Just before I get to move on into from the police stuff and into the more how you can participate. Just to recap, I think that definitely some, I think the New York Police Department is infiltrating groups unless there's a city ordinance. In that case, the state police are infiltrating activist groups in the city. My purpose in doing this demonstration is kind of let all my ideas out in the open since I've already been there through this and since I have no actual involvement in the planning for the next RNC. So I hope that they are paying attention, though, so because there's some useful information in this. All right. Infiltration. The best way to get inside is to volunteer. I volunteered myself for the RNC, and I got a thank you letter in the mail after I was arrested. Sadly, and I didn't even actually show up to do my shift at the RNC. I was too busy getting arrested at that point. So I didn't get to collect my T-shirt. Hair salons, this is, might be a little cryptic, but I'll explain it later. It's an innovative way of sneaking into a delegate hotel or other areas where there's a blockade or security perimeter. All right. Can I get audio from my laptop? Is that possible? Yes? Nod? Okay. Okay, I'll try it without first. No, that didn't work. All right. This is Ed Kaku's... What's that? Well, I'll just go ahead and keep on explaining it. So, if you can help me with that, setting that up. All right. So, volunteering. Why would you want to volunteer? You get a free disguise. You get access to the RNC, and otherwise known as villainous people. You're also less likely to be arrested if you're wearing a big red shirt that says RNC on it. So if you get stuck behind a police barricade at the RNC and you whip out your RNC shirt, you can also buy ones online that are similar to this from the RNC themselves. Usually they set up gift shops that will sell all this, you know, don't mess with Texas T-shirts and whatnot. All right, should I try the laptop audio again? It's still not working. Yeah? All right.
I'm Ed Koch. New York City has never been more alive or exciting than it is today, and now's your chance to help show it off. This summer, the Republican National Convention is coming to Madison Square Garden. While they're here, make nice. They'll be boosting our economy, so let's help them do it. Show them where to find shopping, a schmear, a shawarma, a shoeshine, a show. Show them the ropes. Show off, New York.
Be a part of it. Apply to volunteer online at nyc2004.org. New York City residents, call 311 for more information.
All right, that's their promo that Ed Koch is running. I don't know him personally, but apparently he's pretty unpopular in the city these days. It sounds like they're begging people. Last I heard that they're going for around 8,000 or 10,000, and they don't even have close to that. I think it's around 4,000 that they have right now. Later on this weekend, I'm signed up to go to the orientation, so you should apply online and try to go and visit with, go over with me. What's that? That's a good point. Why would they use the New York? There you go. Right. I think he answered your question, and I think it's a political reason and propaganda. All right. Volunteer positions. All right, the airport welcome desk, that seems pretty boring to me. Transportation, and one of my friends at Philadelphia was also arrested in his RNC shirt, so that might, you know, defunct my theory that you're less likely to get arrested, although he was targeted specifically. If you're driving around Republicans or being a guide, you can drop them off in the wrong place. You can drive them around for hours. You can drop them off in the Bronx. You can take them to another state. Jersey. You can send them back to their home state. All right. You can also staff events, which kind of gets you inside closer I'll have some different ideas of pranks you can play once you're already inside. That'll give you some opportunities to get close to these people. Visitor information, again, kind of boring, but I'm sure, you know, you could ask yourself, what would Tyler Durden do? And you could, you can insert your own, I'm not saying you should blow up, you know, the buildings or whatnot. I was referencing the, you know, the airline scene where they're adding their own information into it. Kind of like the propaganda for this conference. Maybe some ready.gov pamphlets you can slip in there for them. Office support. I don't know. I think some hackers might be interested in getting inside their office. So think of what you can do inside their office there. This is my certificate thanking me for participating in the RNC. It's dated August 17th. That's about a week and a half after I was arrested. So if you volunteer for the RNC, you will get a souvenir just like this. I forgot to mention that also during the RNC, the last one, they don't have this position available for this time, is security checkpoints. They had volunteers checking security at the last RNC, and one volunteer snuck people from the School of the Americas watch inside the convention, and they did a banner drop from inside the RNC. Didn't get very much press, but they did get inside. Needless to say, that position is not available, sadly, for this RNC. So sorry, all you security people for this conference, you won't have another chance next month. Hair salons. This idea came up. This is the Waldorf Astoria right here. This tactic came to us during the World Economic Forum when a friend of ours, me and Emmanuel, were in the car, and our friend Dave, he called us, and he's like, "Holy shit, I just got inside the World Economic Forum." And we're like, "How the hell did you do that?" He's like, "Oh, I just made an appointment at the hair salon to get my eyebrows waxed." You know, he got past all the security, so me and Emmanuel, we get a hotel room that's inside the security perimeter, which is helpful, because there's usually the city beat cops guarding that perimeter. So we had a hotel room, the Marriott. I don't like giving the Marriott the money because they're involved with the prison industrial complex, but it did get us close to the World Economic Forum. So how we got inside is we called up, we made an appointment under Eric Corley. We got the Secret Service. They were like, "What, you want to get inside? Who are you?" And we're like, "Well, we're on the list at the hair salon." So the Secret Service trudges off, you know, goes to the hotel. And meanwhile, these, I think they're community relations police officers there. They've got these blue vests, you know, they're supposed to be helpful to people, to, you know, point people in the right direction, especially if they're not protesters. And they notice my hat. It's the same hat I got arrested with at the RNC. I got it back just in time to wear to the World Economic Forum, and they noticed the red and black star on my hat, and they're like, "Isn't that some of that black flag stuff? Isn't that like an anarchist symbol or something?" And I was like, "Oh, no, I don't know what you're talking about. It's just a star." And they're like, "Oh, okay." So then the Secret Service agent comes trudging back, and he's like, to Eric Corley, otherwise known as Emmanuel Goldenstein, "Well, you're on the list, but you're not pointing to me." And we're like, "Well, we have the name underneath, you know, reservation for two people underneath one name." And he was like, "Oh." He was just so disappointed. He thought he uncovered this plot to get inside. So then we actually got inside the World Economic Forum. I got my eyebrows waxed from Olga. I highly recommend it. She had this great quote. She was talking about the, you know, all these billionaires. She's like, "These billionaires, I don't like them. They're so obnoxious." So you have an advocate inside the Waldorf Astoria there. Highly recommend it. Sadly, that is not one of the places that the RNC is going to stay. So after we got inside, after we got our eyebrows waxed, we wandered around for about 5 minutes, took some pictures inside. Then, out of nowhere, the Secret Service finally noticed that we weren't wearing any credentials, and they're like, "Excuse me, can I help you?" They're very quiet about it, so my gist of this was they didn't want to draw attention to the fact that somebody got inside who wasn't supposed to. And they quietly escorted us out before Emmanuel took a picture. He was like, oh, can I take a picture of that? It was a banner saying World Economic Forum on that. And he took the picture, and somebody from the conference came up and yelled at the Secret Service agent for allowing him to take a picture. Then we were escorted outside. But I think this tactic has great potential for the RNC. There's many different hotels, and many of them have hair salons inside them. So, you know, you should call around, make a few appointments, and get your eyebrows waxed. How to dress. I polo shirts and khakis. I walked through several, the day of the actual protest of the RNC, I walked through several police barricades just based on the way I was dressed. I was like, oh, excuse me, you know, I got stuck behind here. Is there any way out? They would part the way for me and let me through. You can also buy an official RNC polo shirt. They're very much like the RNC volunteer shirts. You can act like your business person, suit and tie. Sometimes, you know, you could throw on a windbreaker, you know, act like you're very important, kind of try to act like, you know, you're really annoyed at all these protesters, they're in your city, they're in your way, you're just trying to get through. Sunglasses help if you're nervous. You can try to help avoid having eye contact with people. Props like tourist maps and whatnot. And now I'm going to move into disruption. Pranks and sabotage. At hotels and other housing, the feeding grounds of the RNC, this is different events that are going to be happening around the city, such as at breakfast at Tiffany's. Transportation. There's many vulnerabilities here, and there's a few pranks that I thought up of that, you know, feel free to engage in. Some of them might get you arrested and some jail time, but whatnot. I just want people to know about these pranks, and maybe some brave soul will use it. All right, these are the hotels of significance. There's Texas over here, I believe. Yeah. That's Texas. That's the Sheraton, New York. This is from the courtesy of the New York Times, by the way. There's the Hilton, where I included the swing states there, Florida, Michigan, Pennsylvania. There's also Alaska, New York. And down here, there's the California, Ohio, and Tennessee. I included California because, you know, people might want to go visit the governor. Which he will be here. He's a speaker, by the way. Different feeding grounds. There's also a whole other list of the different hotels that will be happening here. I didn't include the other ones, but, you know, they're all listed here. If you want, you can get the different names from me later. We'll include that in our scavenger hunt later. These are different feeding grounds. There's breakfast at Tiffany's, which I already mentioned, with Labib Bataki. The Republican Unity Coalition, these are the people who are going to go to Woody's or bars like Woody's and lose their jackets. They're trying to make being gay a non-issue in the Republican Party. Good luck to them. I don't see it happening anytime soon, but, you know, that may be an opportunity to hobnob with some Republicans. The Bank of America is also sponsoring another event. Tavern on the Green. And also another target for pranks in our scavenger hunt later. Let's see, Central Park Boathouse. These are all pretty nice places, usually in Midtown. A lot of them are really close to Fifth Avenue. A lot of these places also have phone numbers, so you social engineers out there, you can call these places, you know, make a few different reservations and different Republicans' names, change them around, call the health department, whatnot. It's up to you. Transportation. There's several different ways to gum up the works in the transportation. Charter buses, subways, and motorcades. Charter buses, they use charter buses to shuttle around conventioners at the RNC, mostly because they can't be trusted to use public transportation by themselves. Maybe they're afraid they're going to get lost, and maybe they don't want to be separated. There's many vulnerabilities this presents. Buses can get stuck in traffic. They're easy to distinguish. Usually they have a banner saying what hotels to pick up at, so that way you know if you got a Texan or not. They're easily blocked, and most importantly of all, charter buses are easily disabled. Everybody pay attention to this one. In the back of all charter buses, by the engine, there's a kill switch and an unlock panel. This is in case of an emergency accident. You need controls close to the engine to be able to shut it off. Several RNC protesters in Philadelphia were able to disable several buses in this method. This also has a safety issue too, because sometimes if you're blocking a bus, you don't want a bus to get road rage, so you can go around back, turn it off, and that way everybody blocking it is safe. All right, so this is, you notice that this is 7th Avenue here, and there's a huge concentration of hotels here. And it's southbound, heading towards Madison Square Gardens, which is around here. This is probably one of the main bus routes for the shuttles. So get out your pens and paper and make note of this. 7th Avenue. There's about 2 mile stretch that you can hit all these buses on. Subways, minus their quick access. They're also going to be giving out free subway passes to the Republicans. Boo. They should pay for it. The plus is that it isolates Republicans, and there's usually signs posted to help them find their way. More on this later. Motorcades. All the Republican governors are going to be here, as I mentioned earlier. Also other high-profile Republicans like Colin Powell, Romney, Ashcroft will most likely arrive in these. And the important fact to remember here is if you see a motorcade, you know you got someone special. You should treat them as such. All right, some pranks and sabotage. Here's some of the pranks I got here. I see it. Thanks. All right, let's make them feel at home here. Prank number one, subway. Shopping list, corners, tape, or crime scene. Kara Seraph, red dye, and chalk. I think you kind of got the idea of this prank here. You want to make your targets as uncomfortable as possible. This way you'll discourage them from using their free bus pass and their free subway pass. That's right. And you'll make them take their charter buses, which I mentioned before, easily dismantled. disabled. Sorry, I keep on saying dismantled. I want to be like Jose Vive, I dismantled that McDonald's with tools. All right, subway. Here's how you can make your own posters. You can have arrows pointing at each other. Usually these are red, white, and blue. They post them near delegate hotels. You can have, pointing the wrong direction, have them going on an uptown train instead of a downtown train, vice versa. Get them lost in the city. I don't know how many people have heard of the Biotic Baking Brigade. You can look them up at bioticbakingbrigade.org. There's Bill Gates being pied in the corner there. I heard something like 26 people were involved in that pieing, and roving teams ready to, pie Bill, or they call them pie assassins. Cherry pies are especially memorable. All right. This location is everywhere. Every time you see a Republican, feel free to throw. It stimulates the economy by buying all those pies. Prank number four. This is not a very nice thing to do. Butyric acid, available from Fisher Scientific, smells like the essence of puke. This is the chemical active agent in stink bombs. It's about 1% in those stink bombs. This is 99% pure. If you take a plastic bottle and a safety pin, puncture the holes, have it slowly spread out. That way you can maximize your how long it's lasting, and it seeps into porous materials and lasts for weeks. Ounces enough to clear an office building, and I think you can buy it in liter and 2.5 liter sizes. Surveillance, really quick. Listening to the NYPD can be really helpful during demonstrations. The special operations is probably what they're mostly going to be using during the RNC. The citywide bands down here.
Are those clear channel?
I believe these are. Some of them are encrypted, but not many. I also remember the JTAC-J channel. I remember listening to that sometimes. And the Organized Crime Bureau has been showing up to protests recently. Here's the URL for the whole complete list of all these down here. Scavenger hunt. Real quick, this is the end of my talk. You can join the fun. You can take pictures of security holes at delegate hotels, Madison Square Gardens, the different feeding grounds I mentioned, and Penn Station. What to bring? Bring your camera, bring your radio scanner, frequency counter, gather as much information as you can, look for where security is, entrances, roof access, and if there's any hair salons. Gather intelligence using your social engineering skills. All those voting grounds and delegate hotels have phone numbers. For more information on scouting in general, you can look at Ruckus, www.ruckus.org. They have a pretty decent manual up there. And you can come to my follow-up session in Trek 3 and Sunday 1100. I already signed up for it. And I have the audio on here. Just wanted a friendly reminder, we're coming for your children. We're going to corrupt them with, never mind. Anyway, I thought it was funny. All right, thanks for coming. That's it for Mischief and Mayhem. What's that? If somebody provides a place to host it, I will make a PDF and I'll upload it. I'm sorry. Local resources, rncnotwelcome.org. I think that's a website that has a lot of information on it. And those rubles aren't buying what they used to. There's a representative from the New York Comms Collective who's passing out information on, hopefully he's back there. He's passing out information on how you can get updates from the Comms Collective during the RNC, and donations are appreciated for this project. We'll be keeping protesters informed, and your support is welcome. All right, thank you, and I'll get out of here for the next panel.